Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hi, I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, a board-certified OBGYN and menopause specialist. My new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it really takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Every week, I sit down with medical experts, cultural icons, and powerhouse women to talk about what really matters: your health, your power, and your future. We're covering hormones, identity, finances, relationships, and so much more. New episodes drop every Tuesday. Listen to and follow Unpaused with me, Dr. Mary Claire Haver, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
A Super Bowl champion.
The Green Bay Packers have won the Super Bowl.
The Packers' all-time leading scorer.
A game winner for Mason Crosby.
It's time for the Mason Crosby Show with Mitch Nellis, presented by Verizon, the official 5G network of the Green Bay Packers, on the Wisconsin Sports Radio Network, powered by the Potawatomi Sportsbook, and on the free Odyssey app.
Yes, sirs. Yes, ma'ams. Yes, kids in attendance. Are there kids in attendance? I don't know.
No kids here.
No kids here. No kids here. My kids are home. Both are off school today for conferences. Oh, wow.
These kids just don't go to school anymore.
I know. Yeah, kids. Tommy,
on a Thursday?
Tommy,
You have no idea how old I've become working with you guys over the last year.
These rants existed in you, regardless of us.
I play Sudoku and I yell that kids don't go to school. That is what I'm on.
Middle of class.
You're not wrong. You're not wrong. This is the Mason Crosby Show, presented by Verizon, the official 5G network of the Green Bay Packers. I'm Mitch Nellis. He's Mason Crosby. He is Tommy Wirtz. We've been talking to some J.J. Watt. Keep those opinions coming in on the Nicolay Law Talk and Text Line. 414-677-1250. 414-677-1250. J.J. Watt didn't say much, but you have the ability to type in as much as you'd like right there on the text line. We're going to switch gears and return back to the Packers, where we opened the show. Joining us now on the guest hotline, powered by Gruber Law, One Call, That's All. He is, dare I say, Mr. Cheesehead TV? I think of him that way. He might not think of himself that way. He is one of our favorite podcasters, broadcasters, and Packers beings on earth. He is Aaron Nagler. What's up, Nags?
What an intro. Thanks, guys. Thanks so much for having me. Really happy to be on the show.
I won't tell you how I intro'd Andy Herman when I had him on yesterday, and I said, our favorite podcaster. Okay, maybe second favorite to Aaron now. I want the drama.
You're just trying to make friction on the beat. Exactly. I get it. I see what you're doing.
Yeah, the Mason Crosby Show's here for chaos. That's what we're all about. So I appreciate you jumping on, and you look like you're broadcasting. I mean, we're ready to roll. We're ready to go. So
do it.
We need to dive into this Packers team. You know, what's going on? How's this week feeling, looking post, you know, with Tucker Kraft's injury, the new guys stepping up at the tight end room. What are you seeing up there in Green Bay?
Well, I'm thinking this team is going to rebound in a big way and surprise a lot of people, man. You look around the internet and the fans, I don't understand how it's like the highest of highs one week and then like legit 6 days later everyone's got to get fired and this team is terrible and they're never going to do anything. I understand being disappointed, right? I understand they did not play up to expectation against the Panthers, but fair. The wild swings because of the outcomes of these games, man, I don't know. Maybe I'm getting old. Maybe I've just seen so many seasons come and go where, man, what is happening on November 2nd means very little. What is happening late December into January means a whole hell of a lot. And this is a team that hasn't come close to putting together a complete game. Even those first 2 weeks where everybody was very excited, they were two dominant performances, no doubt about it, but you still had plenty of things you could work on coming off of those games. So it was disappointing last Sunday, no question about it. But I do think this team is going to look very different on Monday night, no question.
Yeah, I think you hit it on the head. Like, I mean, the two games they lost were by a field goal, right? Like, each one of those. Then the tie was a 40-point barn burner into overtime. So this team has, like, they're going to play to the final whistle. I mean, they're going the distance the whole time. Do you think that, like, the betting space, the gambling world, fantasy football, all of that plays into the wildness of a week-to-week, like, big reactions to everything?
Absolutely. I think that's part of it. I think part of it is just the internet, you know, the way we do now kind of follow. Mason, you remember when you started playing, were there whole headlines about workouts on a Tuesday?
Some Twitter, random dude. Twitter wasn't even a thing until a couple of years into the league.
But now somebody comes in on a Tuesday for just their general kind of, you know, making sure they got their emergency lists up to date. Maybe have a question about a guy they liked in the draft process, etc. And there are literally hundreds of tweets, blogs, whatever, about just the most mundane operations of the football team. And that's just to underline, like, the obsessiveness, right? And I don't begrudge it. I understand it. Hell, that's the whole reason Cheesehead TV exists, right?
Exactly.
But to your point, yeah, if you're looking at a 13.5-point spread going into that Panthers game, and the Packers are having major problems scoring and let alone, you know, stopping the Panthers, you've spent all week talking about how it's going to be a blowout and they're big favorites, etc. You couple that with the, again, obsessive nature of every single moment of every single day, every single update. I get how people's kind of perceptions or expectations maybe do get a little out of whack. It is the NFL. It is very, very hard to win in the NFL. And just because you drop one, that's very disappointing, no question about it, doesn't mean suddenly you have no talent, you're a bad team, Matt's a terrible coach, all of that nonsense.
Yeah, it is a knee-jerk reaction league, but that's what makes it, I think, that's why it's the most popular league in the world right now. No doubt. I mean, it's growing everywhere because you can just literally lean week in, week out. There's going to be drama at every turn, so it makes it exciting. And so the drama this week is going to be Tucker Kraft gets an ACL injury. Who's going to step up? Is Luke Musgraves ready? Are they going to do it by committee? What do you think, just specifically on that injury, like what this offense is going to look like against the Eagles?
It's interesting because, you know, Matt obviously was asked about it today, and, you know, he said, I think, appropriately, like, no one person is going to step in and kind of pick up that slack. There's no doubt that it will have to be a group effort. There'll be lots of different position groups contributing to the production that Tucker gave them. I am interested, though, because of the fact, you know, they brought up a tight end from the practice squad. They've got Fitzpatrick there already. There's a chance here that they maybe surprise the Eagles and maybe some other teams with maybe they start playing around with some more kind of heavy formations, heavy personnel, because they've been doing a lot of this kind of horizontal wide receiver screen stuff that I know the fans are sick of it. I understand kind of the thinking behind it as far as, okay, if your box is stacked and you've got numbers to your advantage on the outside, you want to get it out there. But if you go back to, say, even week two, Matt did a really nice job against the Commanders of utilizing multiple tight ends to get the opposing defense into kind of a heavy personnel look and then took advantage of it down the field. And I think with Musgrave's ability, his speed, his athleticism, I think you could see some of that. And anybody who was out there this summer can tell you Musgrave had a really good training camp. And he just hasn't had that many opportunities because Tucker has been the starter. And obviously you don't want to take Tucker off the field. But now that you're going to be forced to play Musgrave, I think utilizing him, you know, a little bit more vertically, I think that's on the table. And I think that might surprise some folks.
Awesome. We got Aaron Nagler of Cheesehead TV joining the Mason Crosby Show, talking about Packers versus Eagles and all things up there in Green Bay. I got it. You know, obviously played up there for a long time. We got to talk about this kicker situation a little bit.
I'm so glad. You know, Mason, I got to tell you.
Because I know you love talking about kickers. So.
I've been sitting here waiting to talk to you about it.
All right.
Mason, my co-host, very famously in the Cheesehead TV world, went completely insane way back when you had your kind of struggles.
2012. Gay,
I don't remember that.
The Detroit game, right? No. And then he had to make an apology video to you because you obviously rebounded.
Yeah.
And that is kind of the best part of the NFL, right?
Yeah.
Is this ability to redeem yourself, to get back at it, etc. But man, you know more about this than me, but I am completely mystified when you have the head coach up at the podium after a game saying that the kicker is, quote, battling through something.
Yeah.
Why is that allowed? I don't understand. And today at practice, they're saying both of these guys are going to kick. What? I don't get why McManus just isn't on IR. Let him get right. This Mason, you know more than me.
We started the show off with that. And I felt the same way. I mean, he missed two games. Had they just put him on IR, you have another kicker on active roster, which is like unheard of in today's
right?
In any NFL world. So yes, like, and Haversick, if Haversick had come in and not done great, I get having your guy that you paid battle through, you know, a little minor thing. But if it was enough to keep you out of games, two games, mind you, not just like, not just one game, two games, he would be coming back after this Eagles game. Just to have him on that 4-week IR, let him, you know, get fully healthy and then be great down the stretch. And then, you know, I really like Haversick, but it's like once he's served his time, then you let him go. Yeah.
Exactly.
So it's it does. It blows my mind. And I'm a huge proponent of not letting operation get fiddled with, right? So like if Haversick is kicking with Orzik and Whalen, they might like it a different way, right? Timing's different. The ball leans. There are little nuances. I mean, you see quarterbacks with a new center. If they go under center sometimes, it doesn't work out perfectly, right? And that's just a snap right into his hands. So I think all of those things are things to consider. And I don't like the feel of it for sure up there right now.
Yeah, and it's wild because you mentioned, look, they've been in every game, right? They're all close games, even the games they've lost. But they've lost in games where they've missed kicks.
They've missed the kick, yeah.
That would have won the game for them.
Y'all would have been yelling for my job had I, like, any time. I missed a kick in the first quarter when I was playing up there, and it's like, oh, my gosh, get him out of here. It's like my first miss of the season. It's like, well, we lost by three. Get him out. It's done.
Well, that's a good question, Mason, because we kind of somewhat joked about this on the show last night, but can you imagine if first quarter, let's say, or even at any point in this game on Monday night, McManus gets out there and misses a kick? Lambeau is not going to be fun, man.
Yeah, it's going to be tough.
There's already insane pressure on these guys, right? You know this.
Yeah.
But like now, you've just added to it. That's all they've done.
Yeah.
I don't understand anything when it comes to how they've handled the kicker situation.
Yeah, they're kind of setting themselves up for a little bit of failure in that situation. I know McManus mentally, like, he's tough, he's, you know, a vet, he can handle all of that noise, but it does just kind of set you up for a bad situation, especially at home, like you're saying. Like, if it doesn't go well on Monday night, then you're just
palpable.
In a really, really tough situation. So, all right, that's enough kicker talk. I feel good about it.
Nailed it.
At least we're on the same page, man, because like I said, I'd like, you know, you've forgotten more than I'll ever know, and I've just been completely mystified.
Aaron, I'm just looking for a way to get the ball into Matthew Golden's hands, because I think Matthew Golden can do amazing things. I just need to find a way to get the ball into his hands.
Yeah, I mean, Aaron, we hear that every press conference. It's like, hey, we need to find a way to get the ball in these guys' hands. Aaron, has anyone other than Tucker Kraft impressed you on this Packers offense that once the ball's in their hands, you never know what's going to happen?
Well, it's never going to be as kind of dynamic as Tucker at that position at tight end, because he does do such a great job both after the catch and running through contact, right? Because lots of times you've got this stuff kind of in the flat, or, you know, there's guys on him, but he just breaks their tackle and off he goes. I don't think there's another player like that on the roster, but I will say, man, and I know he didn't practice today, which is unfortunate, but Savion Williams has shown, fumble on Sunday aside, that he can make things happen after the catch. Like, that is one of the strengths of his game. But man, Thunder, I'm with you on Golden. You know, we all want to see this kid get the ball. We all want to see him be successful, right? It does feel weird, though.
But stop saying it.
You just, you know, he gets asked these questions. You know, Matt's not asking the questions. Matt is answering questions.
Yeah,
and when he continuously isn't involved, you know, and he disappears for long stretches, and I understand he got banged up, had the bummed shoulder at one point in that game, it is weird how he can be involved early, but then does kind of, even when he is healthy, just disappears for long stretches. And something I kind of talked about earlier this week on Cheesehead TV is it does feel like they being the offense, is a bit Romeo Doubs centric. And I don't take anything away from Romeo. I think he's a phenomenal player. I think he's really good at certain things. You put him on that backside of a 3-by-1 set, he is winning that backside slant every single time. And that's money. That's candy from a baby, right? There are things he does very, very well, but it does seem like they lean. I mean, he was out-targeting pretty much every wide receiver for the last, like, month, game in and game out. And you've got all these other guys who are very talented, including this first-round rookie who you took in the first round, a wide receiver, for the first time since the early 2000s. There are plenty of opportunities there as far as his athleticism, his ability to go get the ball. And we've seen just the slightest glimpses of it. Just feels like they got to start having a part of the playbook, right? Just a little sliver of a section that has Golden as your primary target and start calling some of those plays.
Yeah, I mean, it's Jordan Love trying to get his good buddy Romeo paid is what's happening. You know, it's like, and that is a thing.
I'm glad you said it, because hey, I'm on the outside looking in. I never know, but it does feel like that.
It's how it works. It's like, okay, I trust this guy. The plays that are being drawn up, it's like, yeah, if he's open, I'm gonna find it. Or if it's like an early option, I'm gonna do it. I think Jordan Love, with this too, and I've watched some pass clips, like whenever he's throwing good passes, is just get him in some more timing situations where it's just like, just take the shotgun, two-step drop, release the ball. Good route concepts where it's like he's throwing it regardless of what he sees and all of that. Because I think that's the only issue that Jordan's had this season is maybe bad route trees, and he extends it a little bit and then just like throws up a Hail Mary, right? Or some of like weird pass. But whenever Jordan's on time and gets him going, is even Aaron Rodgers talked about that. He was just like, give me two or three timing throws to start a game and then I'm gonna cook this team all day long.
Like, look no further than 2 weeks ago when he's in Pittsburgh and he's hitting 20 in a row.
Yeah, exactly.
And almost all of them—not every single one—but most of those are catch it, couple step drop, boom, it's out of his hands.
Yeah, exactly. 100%. Even the incompletion to Tucker Kraft was that attempt, right? He tried to just time it, and it just came out weird. But I think that's how this offense operates best, is just run some routes, like set some things up where it's like intermediate throws, some throws that like it's just like these are throws that you need to make early so you feel really confident throughout the rest of the game.
I'm totally with you. And the fact that we've seen it happen again and again and again when he does get kind of on a heater, right? Like he does kind of start to get into rhythm. He feels like a bit of a streaky thrower, right?
Yeah.
And then when he gets that rhythm, it's like he can't be stopped until there's a false start or there's a hold or there's something that drives him back, right? And then now all of a sudden it's second and 20 and now you're trying to work uphill kind of thing. But man, when they've been able to stay ahead of the sticks, and I know people are beyond frustrated with the running game not being able to get on track, but I understand why Matt sticks with it, because that actually aids your quarterback as far as, okay, you do only need 7 yards instead of 12 or 15. Well, okay, you can chip away. You can play kind of a short rhythm passing game. And I do think that plays to Jordan's strengths. But man, it also feels like there should be opportunities if teams are going to play them the way we saw the Panthers play them. And Philadelphia is probably going to play them with these two deep high safeties, just allowing everything to happen in front of them and then rally and tackle, trigger quick, etc. Man, there should be opportunities in the middle of the field in some of these deep digs and some of these kind of deep in cuts. And it's weird because we see them take that when they have to. And it's like 3rd and 18, flick of the wrist, now it's 1st and 10 because Jordan hit Doubs on a deep in. But they never seem to attack with that. It's always because they're back against the wall. Now they suddenly got to convert on 3rd or 4th or whatever, instead of maybe, trying a little bit of that on early downs and get, just a little bit off kilter from this team, this defense, these defenses that they're going to face week in and week out. I mean, 90% of the snaps against the Panthers were in too high shell. Like at some point, I get you, the idea is you want to run them out of that, but the Packers can't run the ball. So what do? You know,
that's a great segue, Aaron. Because we were going to ask you about the run game, Josh Jacobs problem or an O-line problem.
Oh, O-line problem. 1 billion percent. Oh, 100%. And I know, I don't know about you guys, but I see every game when Josh is, you know, having trouble getting something going, and it's, Jacobs is, you know, maybe not, well, some people even say washed, or, he's like, you know, clearly not what he was last year, blah, blah, blah. Man, this guy makes more stuff happen behind or at the line of scrimmage than any back I've ever seen. Like, plays that should be no gain, negative gain, and he turns them into positive yardage. He's incredible. The frustrating part is there are certainly plays throughout the game each and every week where the offensive line actually does its job. There, look no further. There was a play, I think second half, where Jacobs rips off like a 12, 14-yard run that's blocked beautifully, gorgeous up front. The problem is that never happens with any kind of consistency. Yeah. Someone's always messing up. Someone's getting off a block. Someone's getting beat off the snap. And Josh is just trying to make something happen because there's nothing available. So, yeah, to me, the run game is 1 billion percent offensive line driven. No
doubt. What do you think? I mean, are they just, like, sticking their head in the mud with, like, not moving Elgton Jenkins back to guard?
Oh, like, here we go.
Like, yeah. In my mind, center is such an important position, but yep. Elgton Jenkins is one of the best guards in football. Like, you are just, like, not utilizing a real strength and weapon on your offensive line, putting him in the center of that offensive line. Like, in my opinion, watching the game for a long time.
I agree. It's hard, right? Because there are a lot of levels to that. Because if you move him to left guard, then what are you doing with Aaron Banks, who's only played left guard? Right? Yeah. Aaron Banks, who you handed the bag to this offseason. Now, you can argue about whether that was a wise decision or not, but that decision's been made, and now he's on your football team. And actually, in the last like two or three games, he's played much better, well, even. So now, I agree with you. I think Elgton has been miscast at center, and I think it's been rough to watch. And the idea, theoretically, was great, but it certainly has not played out the way they want. Now, maybe you do move him, then who's your center? Are we putting Sean Ryan there? He's your backup, essentially. He's the one who ran with the twos all summer, right? I don't know if that's that much of an upgrade at center. Like, I like Sean as a player, but it's not like he's covered himself in glory at any position this year so far. But, you know, Elgton, for whatever they thought coming out of college, I know Brian Gutekunst has said in the past that he really liked him at center when he was coming out, but he's played a lot of ball at guard at this point for you, and that's pretty clearly his best position. But if you move him, I just, you know, again, what do you do with Banks? Are you putting Jenkins at right guard?
You know, they ran the ball last year, and it's like,
yes,
you know, you move on from Josh Myers, who, you know, it's like, was he that bad that you weren't willing to pay him $3 million a year?
We were the only pro Josh Myers show in the state. I mean, seriously. We were all in on just bring him back. Who cares?
Yeah.
The best part about their O-line.
That number, I would have brought him back in a heartbeat.
The line played well.
Right, yeah, and exactly. That was the thing that Charlie always brings up on WSD is like the consistency last year, Aaron, where it was everyone was playing every game at the same position was one of the biggest strengths the team had.
It was.
And I always have respect for someone that pukes on the field and keeps it like that.
Literally,
for me is always
the snap
a respect
of the ball.
Yeah, exactly.
But you have to, now that was something we talked about this offseason. You can't count on that, right? Consistency,
sure.
Five guys lining up each and every week all year long. That does not happen. The Packers got really lucky in that regard last year, and then it bit them right in the playoffs when Elgton goes down. But to that point, they did play better as a cohesive unit down the stretch last year. And that's what I think maybe some people are forgetting, because I get it's been frustrating, but it's not like they were gangbusters out of the gate last year on the ground. I do think weather starts turning, slower fields. This group in particular, I think, will play better here in the second half of the season in the run game. But yeah, it's a quandary at the moment, because they do need to play better. There's no doubt about it. Especially, and not even just in the run game, just overall. Everyone's talking about the 4th and 8 and Jordan Love, and that was a crazy play and blah, blah, blah. But no one talks about the fact that Jordan had no time at all to even run the play that was called because they got beat up front instantly.
Yeah.
You know, that's pass protection. That's like the rudimentary stuff that makes your offense go. If they can't do that on a consistent basis, they're not going anywhere. So that, to me, every issue on offense can be solved by the offensive line playing better.
Well, you know, the Eagles right away are going to test those A-gaps just like the Carolina Panthers did. Where it's just like they're gonna mug and do some different things, make Elton Jenkins and those front five make calls and, you know, identify who they're going to, and they're going to test that right away. That's how this league works.
One thing you know is coming, and I'm fascinated to see, because last year this happened in Detroit when they played the game in Detroit. You know, they got taken to the woodshed up front, and a lot of times it was because Jordan was taking the play clock down to 1 second, right? Mm-hmm. And they could just tee off.
Yeah.
You saw that again against Carolina.
Yeah.
He's making adjustments, and they did a great job of kind of holding their shell. And then 1 second, they're firing, they're triggering, because they know that you've got to snap the ball.
Yep.
So I suspect on Monday night, you'll see kind of the same thing the Packers did last year in Seattle early in the game. You're going to see a lot of tempo. You're going to see in and out of the huddle. You're going to see them get up the line of scrimmage, snap the ball. Because they lived in 1 or 2 seconds on the play clock last week, and it absolutely killed them.
Yep. Oh, man, I'm glad you said that, because I would love to see that. Like, I would love to see them get into some tempo stuff.
They have to, because teams can just tee off. And it's been, to your point, Elton Jenkins has really been put in some tough positions because of it.
For sure. All right, fellas, y'all got anything else?
Tommy, you got anything?
No, I think we got it. I think we covered it all. Aaron's great.
I mean, we
covered it all.
We
solved all the problems.
That's right.
I think we did. Yeah,
we could keep going for hours, but Aaron's got a life.
So. Hopefully, next time he's on, they only have one kicker on the team. Yes. That's the plan.
From your mouth to God's ears, Tommy.
It's either going to be that, or we're going to spend the entire time talking about.
Or we're going to have more kickers than tight ends on the roster.
Well, I mean, I have one thing before I do let you go, because I did want. They brought in Asante Samuel Jr. for a visit.
Yeah,
they probably would have to let a kicker go to bring him in. Like, is that what they're trying to weigh?
Yeah. Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, and my new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Listen to and follow Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Yeah, is that what they're weighing on? Like...
He's on a very specific kind of whirlwind free agent tour right now. Most of this is just about teams getting information medically, right? There's no way you're signing this guy without getting him in your building and getting a look at him, right? So I suspect he'll leave today and he'll go visit all the other teams he's going to visit. I'd be very surprised if the Packers made that signing, but hell, I never thought they'd trade for Micah Parsons, so here we go.
Fair. That's fair. Good point. Aaron Nagler, Cheesehead TV, thanks so much for joining us today, and we will definitely catch up soon.
Thanks a lot, guys. Thanks for having me on.
You bet. Appreciate Aaron Nagler at Aaron Nagler, Cheesehead TV, all over the socials as well. Joined us on the guest hotline powered by Gruber Law. One call, that's all. We will make our weekly picks. Mace, is somebody doing some yard work outside?
Gosh, can you hear that? I just heard that.
That is like blasting through my headphones.
I totally thought it was Aaron, and then it was like, oh, it didn't go away once you left.
My apologies. Clearly, I don't do my yard work.
You got to keep
that answered the question.
You got to keep the estate looking tip top.
Exactly.
Estate. He's actually mowing the yacht out right now.
Sorry, I'm blowing leaves up here.
Oh, that'd be amazing. If you were doing the show outside on the patio.
I'm just outside. It's so nice out here, yeah.
He's Mason Crosby. He's Tommy Wirtz. I'm Mitch Nellis. We are the Mason Crosby Show, presented by Verizon, the official 5G network of the Green Bay Packers. Our picks next.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio.
T&Cs apply.
Hi, I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, a board-certified OBGYN and menopause specialist. My new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it really takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Every week, I sit down with medical experts, cultural icons, and powerhouse women to talk about what really matters, your health, your power, and your future. We're covering hormones, identity, finances, relationships, and so much more. New episodes drop every Tuesday. Listen to and follow Unpaused with me, Dr. Mary Claire Haver, available now wherever you get your podcasts.